Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you so much for another night with all my brothers and sisters. Lord, we ask for your presence here. We ask that you open up our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes of understanding, Lord, that we'll grasp the things that you have for us tonight. And we thank you for it, Lord. You know, everybody has something to give. I have a gift. Everybody in here has a gift. All people in here, all 18 people in here right now have a gift, Lord. And we ask and we pray, Lord, that everybody shares tonight on this deliverance issue, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Or whatever it is, you know, just share what's on your heart. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to prompt us all to do that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Nobody got a prayer request? Let's go ahead and pray then. I want to pray. Yeah, go ahead,
Michael.
Babe.
Just my wife would get over this flu or whatever it is that's bothering her. We prayed about it, but it's a fairly new development.
Okay. But Father, we just thank you that Jeanette is healed by the stripes of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that you're going to put bold and great and bold faith in her. But when these attacks come, she just rebuke them in the name of Jesus. We command the spirits of infirmity off of her right now. The sniffling, the fever, anything like that, any kind of symptoms to go right now in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that Jeanette is healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen, Jeanette?
Amen.
Amen.
Jeanette?
All right. Okay. Anything else, Wade?
Did I get the equipment to be running fully with the camera and with a better phone?
Okay, Lord, we just pray that you furnish everything he needs in Jesus' name. Lord, we're looking for it. We're expecting, and we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. You believe that, Wade?
Amen.
Okay, brother. It's going to happen. That might not manifest in your time frame, but you know God's going to get it there when you need it. Amen.
Amen.
All right, brother. Anybody else? One more day, Anna. One more day, girl. What do you say, Matt?
She's still holding out.
Okay. Well, that's all right. That's okay. Thank you, Lord, that baby's, he's growing.
Amen.
He's growing in Jesus'
name. A healthy young boy.
Yes, he is. Amen. You want to pray about something?
I've got nothing on my mind at the moment.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? All right. Y'all believe with me, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your protection upon Trump, his family, and his cabinet in the next few hours. Well, from now on, actually. Lord, we thank you. We command those spirits of assassination, those spirits of murder out of Washington, D.C. in the name of Jesus and out away from him in the name of Jesus and his cabinet and away from any kind of whistleblowers against the enemy in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for that hedge of protection that you've put around Trump, his family, and his cabinet in the name of Jesus. We command confusion in the enemy's camp that wants to try to disrupt anything that you want to do, Lord. We thank you, Lord. You're going to send the hornets to scatter them. And we praise you, Father. You know, we've gotten words this morning, Lord, that you've got a plan to take them all out some kind of way. And, Lord, we just praise you for that. Thank you, Lord. You're going to cleanse the streets of all of this anarchy and all of the confusion that they try to bring in to the inauguration And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to do a mighty work here and that people's going to know that it's you, Lord, because you're going to get the glory for this. And we praise you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. I believe that, y'all. Amen. Okay, anybody else got a prayer they'd like to pray? Or okay, go ahead, Matthew.
I thought raising my actual hand would be a little easier. just something that kind of popped in my head, that something I'd like us all to pray and agree about, is for me, for praying more, you know, praying what the Lord wants me to pray and, in the spirit more and, just, you know, spending more time with the Lord, you know. It's something I kind of want to do. And so if you all agree with me, Lord, please help me to pray more and to draw closer to you, Lord, in my everyday life. And help me to be a leader in this family, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you have already provided prayers for me to pray, Lord, whether in the spirit or just in words that I say, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray that for everybody, that you would step up our prayer life from where it once was and to what you want it to be, Lord. And I thank you for that. That is our walk, Lord, and I know that. But you know, Lord, we kind of get caught up in worldly things sometimes, and we forget or we think we got to do something else other than seek you. I know that's been my experience, Lord, and I ask and I pray that you take all that junk out of me, Lord, and make a prayer warrior out of all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anybody else?
Hey, Michael, I heard a quote once that was being a Christian without prayer is like living without breathing.
Amen. That's true. Okay, Malcolm, what you got, brother?
Oh, good. Thanks, Michael. I was struggling with my phone to unmute myself. I put my hand up and then I toggled, you know, star 9. Then I did it again and it never seems to. I don't know how to put my hand down on the phone, but anyway. I don't have anything to say.
Star 6, I believe, is what it is.
Star 6 mutes or unmutes, and it toggles, but you can't. Once you put your hand up on the phone, I don't know of a way to put it down.
You can't put your hand down? Oh, Lord.
No, it's getting tired.
Okay. I understand, brother. I understand.
But on the phone, I don't know what.
You can't
what the,
do
how
it.
To make it.
I have to do it, so.
Sorry.
That's okay.
6 is awfully close to 9 when it's dark.
Okay. Well, come up out of the dark, brother, and come into the light. Glory to God.
There you go.
Amen.
Thank you, sir.
All right. All right. Anyone else?
I could use some prayer. The Lord would help me confess him before men, especially at work and just everywhere, and to not be afraid.
Okay. You want to pray? You want us to?
If you could, that'd be great.
Okay. Well, Father, we just ask and we pray, Lord, that you place boldness in Trevor, that he would confess you, Lord, before men in everything that he does, inside the house, outside the house, at work, whatever. Lord, that you would be focused on him at all times. And we command that spirit of fear off of him right now in Jesus' name. That intimidation fear go right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that this man is going to be confessing you like a true evangelist that he is, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You believe that, Trevor?
Yeah.
Okay, brother. I do too.
Thanks.
All right. Anybody else? Go ahead, David.
Find some witchcraft that might be going on in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind any evil forces, any demonic forces coming upon UBM body or coming across over the inauguration tonight. Now, we cast down any kind of demonic warfare that's happening to go against the saints, to being projected out against God's people and causing any kind of confusion like we're seeing, or any kind of fear or bewilderment or not sure about their salvation. Lord, we bind those spirits right now. We cast them down and we forbid them to do any more damage to the body of Christ right now in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Lord, I believe with David, and I believe everybody else does too, the Lord, that you're going to do a mighty work over there tomorrow, and you're going to, people are going to know it was you, Lord, and you're going to get the glory, and we praise you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, if this thing goes like I think it's going to go, because of the UN resolution, or what they call it, decree, we may see a earthquake here or something going on here in the next couple of days. So just be aware. I'm not saying it's thus saith the Lord. I mean, you know, if you look back in past history, there was people that, like Chile and Japan, within a day or so after they said, they only agreed that they were going to go with the separation of Jerusalem and Israel, there was major earthquakes. Chile did the same thing. So
Missouri got wiped off the map when Obama mentioned the 1967 borders a couple years ago. He just mentioned it on a Friday and Saturday. It got wiped off the map with that tornado.
Yeah, yeah, stuff like that goes on all the time. And if y'all listened to the broadcast last night, you know that David had asked the Lord if this was going to be serious enough for him to split the country, to have some major earthquakes. And I believe he said he got four hits. So, you know what? I'm excited. I'm excited that this thing is fixing to go, because I know revival's right behind it. And when that revival starts, people's lives, people like Trevor and Bill and Matt and Anna are going to, and all of us are going to just go out there, and all we have to do is say the name of Jesus, and people's going to fall down and cry out to God for mercy. I'm telling you now, you just watch what I tell you. That's going to happen. The anointing's coming for the bride. The anointing's coming for the man child. When that anointing hit, get back, Loretta, because it's fixing to happen. I'm telling you, it's going to be awesome. All right. All right, anybody else got a testimony or a, what happened then? Got a testimony or a, would like to share something? Praise report. That's what I was looking for. Go ahead, Matt.
I just have a little bit of a praise report. You know, I pulled you aside the other night, Michael, and you prayed for me. And to give a kind of a short story to it, I was under attack physically, mentally, you know, by the enemy. I was having bad dreams. It was kind of like, you know, you get a bad dream and you don't sleep very well that night. So when you wake up, you're not really rested. And then I'd go to work, and there was this heavy, heavy oppression at work, you know, especially on me. You know, I'd come home and my wife would be like, "You're not yourself, honey." it was just, it was all coming, bearing down on me. So I pulled Michael aside and we prayed. And I believe, you know, I was set free. And that night I just felt that, you know, oppression leave. And I had good dreams that night. And I had a very, very good night's sleep, so I'm just praising the Lord and thanking him for that.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's according to your faith, isn't it? Amen. You believe it, you're going to have it. If you believe that you're going to be in the bride, you got to have faith to do it. And God gives you the faith, so just keep on believing it. Amen. Going to be in the man child. You want to be in the man child? Have faith for it. Well, I don't know about me, man. I don't know if I can be in the man child or not. Listen, he got Moses in there as a man child. Moses couldn't speak a word without messing up, you know. So, there you go. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Testimony? Praise report? Would like to pray about something? Would like to share something? Anybody get offended from Tuesday night's teaching? If you did, get over it. Just saying. Amen. You know I'm kidding, don't you? All right. All right. Anybody got something they'd like to share?
I can't remember, Michael. What did you talk about Tuesday night?
Well, I talked about a number of things. One of them is we've got the authority over all the power of the enemy. And then I went on from there, but we talked about the Jezebel spirit a little bit. Sometimes that stirs up a little anger. But I know this bunch here loves it, and they're wanting to walk that line. And when you walk that line, go ahead.
No, I remember now. Yeah, that was really awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not like. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Well, you know, somebody brought this out. It not only. That Jezebel spirit can not only be on a woman, it can be on a man too. That Jezebel spirit is a controlling spirit. And which is, of course, as you all know, is witchcraft. And it can happen in a man too. So it's for everybody. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? Okay. What y'all want to talk about tonight?
I got something I can share.
Okay, go ahead.
Just a testimony and praise report. The Lord is really teaching me how to be a worship drummer. Because I'm a drummer. I've been playing drums since I was 2. And I play professionally. And the Lord opened up an opportunity for me to play at a church around here, and it's just such a great opportunity, and I'm just realizing that the Lord created me to worship him. And when I play worship drums, it just comes naturally, and I just praise the Lord for that.
Amen, Trevor. Let me give you a little word of advice.
Yeah.
Pray whenever you go into this worship thing, pray the day before you go in there and ask the Lord to anoint you. Not only that, that everybody else would be in sync with the Lord and not... Yeah. With their own self, okay? I want to do this song. Well, no, let's wait to see what the Lord said. And when you go in there, y'all know, the whole band knows what they're going to play because God's already given it all to you. You know, you might just remember that for yourself. And if anybody, y'all getting in a discussion about that, you say, well, you know, what would be good is if we just prayed the day before or the week before or whatever.
Yeah.
Know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, we actually pray before every service.
Okay, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about hours and hours of prayer and seeking God to find out. You know, and you might even suggest that when, if you get a chance, don't force it on anybody. But you might even if you get a chance to share together with the band members, you might just, hey, you know, why don't we get together on Tuesday or whenever it is, you know, and do that and pray and seek the Lord.
Yeah, we're actually going to start doing that apparently.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. You're going to see a great increase in anointing if you do that.
I think, yeah. I really see the Lord doing a lot.
Amen. Praise God. Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Andrew. I saw your hand raised a while ago.
Yeah, I was just going to bring a word that I was reading the Proverbs yesterday on the 18th. So it was Proverbs 18, and there's a little bit of a word here that coincides with all the stuff that's going on in the news and stuff. And it's 18, Proverbs 18 and 8. And it says there, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. Now, we know the words of Jesus are his spirit and his life. But this word here is a wound for a person. And if you can get drawn into this wound, because look what it says right after it. And they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. And that's your flesh, you know. And you may find yourself reading something even in the newspaper, and these words it can just crack right into you, and you start spreading it all around in the workplace, and you get a little upset about what happened there, and you might even set off some other people, these people who use words for their job, like a government person, a justice person, a religious person, a teacher or a professor, a journalist, if they're not having Christ in them, they'll do this to a person, these words. And of course, you know, there is a wound over there in 14 too, and there's more belly in 20 of the same day. And you know, in 14, the only one who can bear that wounded spirit is Christ, and he'll carry you along, of course. And even though your spirit can sustain you, but that spirit of Christ is the only one who can bear that wound that is put in you from that talebearer. And the belly is in 20. And of course, this fruit here, could have two meanings here. Because a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. So you only want your lips to speak the word of God, but this fleshy word that might come up from your belly, from this talebearer, will bring forth wrong fruits too. And I was just saying that, you know, you hear a lot of stories, and this is the history that we need to have in this word here. And it just spoke to me when I read it that day, and I was going, hey, that's a talebearer. And you know, it can really put a lot of stuff in a person. It can chamber into you, and it can give you stuff that's kind of toxic for you to have from those angels that didn't keep their first principality, that they're tartarized. So that's a toxic fruit that they would give you and wound you with that. And it's in the news. It's everywhere. So that's just a verse about it right there. Anyway, I just found interesting yesterday.
Amen. I like 21 too. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If you spew out death, you sow death, you're gonna reap death. If you sow life, the blessings like Andrew was talking about, you sow the word of God, then you're gonna grow. But if you sow faction, divisiveness, and that kind of thing, it's gonna take you out. That's good. We need that all the time. We need the Lord to be sitting up on our shoulder here. Now, don't say that. Don't be saying that. Don't even think it. Boy, get that out your mind. You know, that's what we ought to be thinking, that the Lord. Here recently, when I shared that John Melendi testimony, it every time I think about something that's not to be thinking about, I think about him and what the Lord told him. He said, I can see your thoughts. I said, they're an abomination to me. Oh, my goodness. That just, man, that sent cold chills all over me. So we have to think about what we're going to say before we say it. And a lot of us, look, I'm guilty. we'll spout something out before we ever think about what we say. When we ought to be thinking, what I'm going to say is this godly or is this going to hurt them? So that's good. We all ought to be doing that, watching what we say and what we listen to as well. Go ahead, Andrew.
I'd just like to add one thing, because I don't want to leave it on a sour note there. It's in 1 Peter 16. Now, there's a lot of holy in there. I really like 8 too, because it's a really good faith definition, and it's for you when you read it. But
that was 1 Peter what?
1 Peter chapter 1.
Okay.
There's a real nice faith verse there in 8. It's very encouraging from the apostle. But I like this one here in 16, where it says, because it is written that ye shall be holy, because I am holy. Now, you don't really think of that as a verse for healing or provision or deliverance, but it is. You're not supposed to call something holy that's not holy. It's a great abomination if someone does that. But here is something that's promised to you, and if what you have is this need or healing or provision, holy is not a curse and it's not a sin. So you should have that, because it is written. And it's written there again. So he got that message from somewhere else. And I wish I knew where he got it, the apostle. So you're holy. And you're holy because the Lord made you holy. And you know, you were bought. So you go to the store, you buy something with dollars. And it's worth dollars when you bring it back home, you know, if it's the wrong color, wrong size. But when you're purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, God the Father is telling you, you're worth it, and he is holy. And he says you're going to be holy here. And of course, there's other verses there about the holy, but it's a process of progress, because it says in the previous verse, becoming. I highlighted the becoming. So I believe it's a process of progress there. And I just, you know, if you will, you will be holy, and these are things we ask for. This is a very encouraging chapter, and I just found that I was reading it just before we came on, and I just love that faith one in number 8:2, whom not seeing ye love, and of course that love is given to you, on whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable, glorifying, receiving the end of the faith, salvation of your souls. And he's telling you that because this is for you. You know, a lot of those people who say they don't want to go through manifold trials, they don't want to be tested by God. Well, this just comes right after that, you know, and it's showing you here, I think, in these verses that once you go through this and you're proven by this, that, your faith brings you through. And, it's just a step by step here, you know. And right from the top down, anyway. It's just lovely. It's very encouraging, this chapter on faith, on holiness, on who you are. You're unfading. You know, sometimes you get that tempter telling you, you know, that you're fading away, but you are not that. You are unfading. You are undefiled, incorruptible. It's your inheritance. And God's power are guarded through that faith that's in that number 8. That's yours. And I just wanted to leave on a positive note. And I think we're going to have some real nice joy in America in a few hours. And the people are going to be very happy about something that's going to happen, because it's going to happen, and it's going to make people very happy to see not only this president come in, but much more.
Amen. I believe it. It's kind of a parallel universe we're looking at here. David kind of explained it last night. If all of this is like Cyrus, when he came in, and the man child coming in at the same time, you know, the man child is anointed before tribulation, and he's anointed before because he takes the bride into the wilderness at that tribulation time. So I believe we may even see the anointing of the man child here in the next few days. We'll see. Let's see. Okay, I'll have to do that. Is anybody else hearing that chime when people come in and out? Nobody else hears it? Yeah, it's annoying to me. Jeremy's hearing it also. But we'll just have to deal with it tonight. I can do that after I get off tonight and just shut it off when people come in and out. It's a chime, and I have to go into the settings, I think, and uncheck that particular deal there. Yeah, Andrew, that is a great chapter in First Peter, that chapter 1. I like it myself, and I'm glad you brought it up, because I need to get back in that. That's a good chapter. All right. Anyone else like to?
I just got one more thing I'd like to say.
Sure.
You know, in the first century, the apostles went to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles, they received the gospel. They didn't have all these other different Christianities, all these different denominations. So this anointing that's going to come is going to have to be a little bit more for us, because you're coming against people who think they're right on something. So you're gonna be running into these people who are from this and then from that and from that. They didn't have that in the first century. They had completely different God. They didn't have something that was a disguised Jesus, you see, like we got today. And that's why we need this extra anointing, and that anointing comes through his word. And this is why you're going to be holy, and you're going to do this. Because God says so, and it is written. And we need to believe that. Amen.
Amen. That's speaking the end from the beginning, and that's calling those things that are not as though they were. And that's our walk. That's that faith walk that God's got us in. Amen. That anointing's going to be awesome on the man-child. That's the latter rain anointing on the man-child. And I believe that the bride itself will be anointed with the former rain at its fullest. That's just me. That's what I believe. And I'm going to keep on believing it too, till we see it happen. All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Andrew. That's good. Anyone else got any comments on what Andrew was talking about? You know, our walk is by faith. It's calling those things that are not. And what he's saying is absolutely correct. If you keep on believing, that's the only condition there is you keep on believing that and a doer of the faith and confessing it, like Trevor was talking about earlier, and doing what God told you to do, you're going to be there. You're going to be there. And anointing, listen, that anointing that's coming will help everybody see where they've, you know, misstepped and bring them back in, you know. It's going to do that. Now, some is going to turn completely away, but we don't even want to talk about that because we want to see revival, don't we? We want to see the revival, and I believe it. We're going to see it. Praise God. All right, anyone else? Anyone else got a comment on that?
Yeah. I just wanted to comment on the tale bearer type of thing, because David has pointed this out before too, but there's Christian news hosts that I've seen fall into slander, and they don't even know they're doing it. Because they're doing it against the wicked, but it's still slander, you know, like they fall into that. You know what I mean?
Well, that's kind of what I believe it was Andrew was talking about earlier, is that when you listen to the news, how does it make you feel? We talked about it the other night too, a little bit. If it makes you angry, if it makes you bitter, then you need to shut it off. You know.
Yep.
But also,
yeah.
If you see something that, you know, sometimes you can look at the news and say, "Oh man, we need to pray against that." Then that's yep. Fine, as long as it doesn't get you stirred up in emotion. We're walking dead men, aren't we?
Yeah.
If we're walking dead, man, none of that stuff should affect us. It should. What we should be looking for is what to pray for or pray against. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you, Trevor. All right, anyone else? What do you think, David? I don't mean to put you on the spot, brother.
You see me? Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I caught myself thinking about things and, you know, a day later thinking, well, why didn't I pray about that? Because you're thinking, why did that come in my mind or that person come in my mind? And you kind of give them a quick thought, you think about whatever and you move on. Then later on you're thinking, well, geez, I'm supposed to be praying about that, ain't I? So I think that's getting up. We have to condition ourselves to, you know, start thinking kingdom thoughts and thinking what it's like to walk in the kingdom. And to do that, we have to, like you're saying, use the time wisely that we have here now and start when something, when our mind, the Lord brings something up in our mind, not just to casually have the thoughts we normally think, but start realizing maybe they're there for a purpose, and we have to start using our minds and our prayer language and our prayer time more diligently and accomplish what we're seeing happen now with Trump coming in the office. That wasn't done just by people sitting back and watching it happen. There was a lot of prayers that went out, and we're seeing the Obama administration just and everything crumble around them, and their noises, you hear the noise, but you don't see anything happen. And hopefully our prayers now, we can continue praying, we're not going to hear nothing but noise. We're not going to see any more violence. We're going to see it all get dropped down. That'd be wonderful. So yeah, I think you're right there. It's time for us to start paying attention to how valuable our time is here on Earth and start using it wisely. And when something like that does come in our mind, we have to start using it for a time to pray about.
Amen. And don't forget to keep praying for Trump and the people in authority, because he's going to need our prayers for the next 4 years or three and a half or whatever it's going to be. All right. Anyone else? Hi, Willie. Praise God. Anybody else? Y'all ever, y'all mind if I give you a testimony from John G. Legg's time? I've shared this before, but I just love it. It's the time. It's about the time. Listen, a positive mind, okay? If you've got a positive mind, a mind that's fixed on Jesus, because we know our authority, don't we? Then you're going to repel diseases. Now watch the action of the law of life. Faith belongs to the law of life. Faith is the very opposite of fear. Faith has the opposite effect in spirit and soul and body. Faith causes the spirit of man to become confident. It causes the mind of man to become restful and positive. A positive mind repels disease. Consequently, the emanation of the spirit destroys disease germs. And because we were in contact with the spirit of life, I and a little Dutch fellow with me went out and buried many of the people who had died from the bubonic plague. We went into the homes and carried them out, dug the graves and put them in it. Sometimes we put three or four in one grave. And we never took the disease. Why? Because of the knowledge that the law of life in Christ Jesus protects us. That law was working. Because of the fact that a man, by that action of his will, puts himself purposely in contact with God. Faith takes possession of his heart, and the condition of his nature is changed. Instead of being fearful, he's full of faith. Instead of being absorbent and drawing everything to himself, talking about the disease, his spirit repels sickness and disease. The spirit of Christ Jesus flows through the whole being and emanates through the hands, the heart, and from every pore of the body. And during that great plague that I mentioned, they sent a government ship with supplies and corps of doctors. And one of the doctors sent for me and said, "What have you been using to protect yourself?" "Our corps has this preventative, and that which we use as protection. But we concluded that if a man can stay on the ground as you have and keep ministering to the sick and burying the dead, you must have a secret. What is it?" What a door opening, huh? I answered, "Brother, that is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I believe that as long as I keep my soul in contact with the living God so that his spirit is flowing into my soul and body, that no germ will ever attach itself to me, for the spirit of God will kill it." He asked, don't you think that you had better use our preventatives? I replied, no, but doctor, I think that you would like to do to experiment with me. If you'll go over to one of those dead people and take the foam that comes out of their lungs after death and then put it under the microscope, you'll see masses of living germs. And you'll find they are alive until a reasonable time after a man is dead. You can fill my hand with them, and I will keep it under the microscope. And instead of those germs remaining alive, they'll die instantly. Now, how many of you got that kind of faith? Wait a minute. Don't be putting no bubonic plague on my hand right now. No, God wants us to have that kind of faith. So they tried it. And what they did, they placed those living germs in John G. Lake's hands while it was under the microscope, and they found it was true. And what happened was those germs instantly died when they hit his hands because the spirit of the life of Christ was coming out of the pores of his hand, praise God. And they tried it and found that it was true, and they questioned, what is that? I replied, that is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. When a man's spirit and a man's body are filled with the blessed presence of God, it oozes out of the pores of your flesh and kills the germs. And suppose, on the other hand, my soul had been under the law of death, and I were in fear and darkness. The very opposite would have been the result. The result would have been that my body would have absorbed the germs, and these would have generated disease, and I would have died. You who are sick, put yourself in contact with God's law of life. Read his word with the view of enlightening your heart so that you'll be able to look up with more confidence and believe him. Pray that the Spirit of God will come into your soul, take possession of your body, and his power will make you well. And that is the exercise of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Praise God. How many of you want that? Let me ask you another question. How many of you got it? I got it. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you put something that's infective in my hand, it's going to die. How come? Because God said. You have to trust God. Faith goes along with trust. Your faith and trust are synonymous with each other. You have to trust God that he's going to back up what his word says. And your faith is that he's going to do it. He's going to do it. And I believe that. And because I know all of us have seen miracles from time to time. I haven't seen near as many miracles as I want to see. I want to see a bunch of them. I want to see people's lives being set free. I want to see people's legs growed out. I want to see people's arms grown out. I want to see tumors knocked off. I want to see all of those things that hinder and put people under bondage freed up in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's good stuff. That is good stuff. Just like he was talking about a while ago, Trevor, confessing before men. Another way that you can do that, somebody says, well, you look sick. No, not me, brother. I'm a child of God. I ain't got no disease on me. I'm okay. I am fine. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Ain't nothing wrong with me. That's confessing Christ before men. That's what we're supposed to do. That's our job, confess Christ before men. Just like Andrew was talking about, we confess the good confession. Don't confess the bad confession. If you confess the bad confession, what happened? Them giants will tear you up. But if you confess the good confession, you can go in there and walk all over them giants. That's what I know. I've seen it happen. And if he'd do it once, he'll do it twice. If he'll do it twice, he'll do it every time you need it. Because God is God. And he said, when you pray and you believe that you have received what you pray, you shall have it. If you pray in my name, Jesus said, I'm going to see that you get it. And that's all we have to do is trust that the Lord's going to back up what he said. Now, you might have to go through a little old trial of your faith there a little while. You know, I had somebody here the other day came up to me and said, how come I'm still going through this? I said, the Lord's trying to work patience in you. And that's what he done. Don't be murmuring. Don't be murmuring. Just accept it. Thank God for it and keep moving. And you know, within just a very short while, they were healed of that problem that they had. Praise God. Okay, anybody else?
I'd like to share something on something I was have been a book I'm going through on faith and prayer. And there's these points that says about faith is acting like it is so, even when it is not so, so that it might be so, simply because God said so. I just thought that was kind of neat.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like it. We don't need to let fear conquer us, and we don't need to let impatience conquer us either. That is, you know, when we don't get our answer right away, we kind of get itchy. We get a little bit itchy. They say, oh, Lord, how come you haven't healed me yet, you know? Well, just hang on. Just keep thanking him. It'll come. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to share?
I think that's one of the most important things is confessing that you don't have it, like you're saying. I've had many people this year come around me and said, oh, I've got a cold, or don't get close to me. And I'll say, oh, I don't have to worry about that. I'm not going to catch it. I'm not going to get your cold. Don't worry. I'll be fine, you know. And then I'm waiting for them to say, well, why is that? But they don't. But the reality is, it's like, I'm under the blood. I just don't make you feel like you think you're going to get it when somebody has something. That fear's on you. I mean, that's what you're concerned about. But in my head, I just knew I wasn't going to get it. I didn't have to worry about it. I wasn't saying it to be arrogant. I just felt it. I just knew I wasn't going to have any problems. And I have it. And I think that's the biggest thing is you just have that confidence that you're not under that bondage anymore. You're not under that curse. You've kind of walked away from it. Once you get that feeling and you know you're not under that part of the curse, it can't affect you.
Amen. It will. Well, you know, we're coming into a time here. If this tribulation starts pretty quick, what John G. Lake saw is not going to hold a light to what we're fixing to see. You can't be affected by what you see and what you hear with your ears. You have to walk like Jesus. You have to keep your eyes focused on Jesus. I ain't looking at these dead bodies. Don't mean nothing to me other than, you know, I need to get them out, whatever, you know. So it's an only way to get faith in your heart is to renew your mind with the Word of God and read and study the Word of God a lot, all the time, every waking hour. Listen, this is the time to do it. We've been saying this for months and actually years, but I'm telling you right now is the time to do it. You need to get in the Word and make sure that that Word's in your heart. And if that word's in your heart, then you ain't got anything to worry about. It's also, you know, there's two things about faith. You have to have faith, and you have to act on that faith. That's the only two things. That's the only two conditions of you succeeding in your walk with Christ, is to have faith and to act on that faith. And if you act on that faith, you're going to see miracles. You're going to see miracles. You're going to be sitting out there on the porch one of these days up there about 70, 80 years old, telling your grandchildren about all those miracles that happened, you know, back in the day. We're going to see some great things here. There's a great shaking coming in the world today. And you know, what you see can create fear in you, just like David was talking about. You can't allow fear to take over. Fear will drain faith out of you quicker than anything. If you get that, if you get fear in your heart when you see something, you say, oh my goodness, oh, this is happening, this is happening. Why are they dead? You know, why are they just laying around out there on the street and stuff? what's going on here? Just listen to the Lord. Listen to the Lord. You got to get close enough to the Lord for him to guide and lead you. That's something you're going to have. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to add to what we're talking about?
It's me. I had wanted to confess and say the attacks that I've been getting, it is because of unforgiveness. God showed me that I've had this sin for a long time in a lot of areas with a lot of people. And I think it starts with me not forgiving myself for my past sins. So it's eventually led for me to not to forgive other people, like, wholeheartedly. So this is, I guess, what's brought these things upon me. It's unforgiveness. And it shows how God hates it. He despises it really bad. No matter how close we are to him.
Absolutely. He says if you don't forgive, he's not forgiving. So, yeah, it's real serious when that happened. Real serious. So you want to repent, and then we'll pray, and God's going to he's going to break you open, girl.
Amen.
Do you want to go ahead and confess and repent?
Yes.
Okay.
I confess that I've been in denial, not honest, so I repent of this, God, and I ask that you forgive me for my trespasses as I forgive my trespassers, people that have sinned against me and done me wrong, that have hated me. I forgive them, Lord.
I think you're on mute, Michael.
Thank you. Lord, you've heard her confession. We thank you, Lord, that you have forgiven her. We thank you, Lord, that you have cleansed her heart. Lord, there may be some things in her heart that she can't get rid of, but, Lord, she just lays them down at the altar and lets you take care of them. Is that right, Princess?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Father, we just thank you for taking all of that stuff away from her. And we thank you, Lord, that from this point on, she's going to keep her eyes focused on you, Lord. And we ask that you help her do that, Father. We ask, Lord, that you prod her into the Word. You keep her in the Word and her eyes focused on you, Lord. We thank you for the joy, the peace, the rest that you've placed in her heart. In the name of Jesus right now, I come against all those spirits that's been oppressing her. I command you to go right now. You don't have any, there's no anchor there now. You got to go in Jesus' name. Depression, go in the name of Jesus. Every tormenting spirit, go in the name of Jesus. Every foul spirit, go in the name of Jesus. And I command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to go. She's confessed her sins. She's cleansed. She's just as righteous now as the most righteous person. And we thank you, Father, that Princess is healed. She's delivered of all of this demonic activity around her. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we just ask and we pray that you would put a hedge of protection around her to keep her from opening any doors anymore. And, Lord, place great and bold joy in her heart, and love, Lord. She needs love for everybody, even her worst enemy, Lord. Just place that love in her, just like Stephen had and the Lord Jesus had. That you don't hold it against them, Lord, because they don't know any better. It's the demons that are doing it. It's not the person themselves. They don't even know they're doing it. It's the demons guiding them. And, Father, we thank you that now from this point on, she's going to see Christ in everybody. She's going to see Christ, and she's going to start praying for those people that have hurt her and blessing them. And we praise you, Lord, for the work you're doing in Princess right now in Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray.
Lord, thank you for letting this lady expose her heart in front of all of us. And because of that, Lord, we know that you are going to give her the joy of her heart for doing this, because you promised in your word that if somebody confesses their sins, that their sins are forgiven, especially in front of the brethren and the sisters. And also, if there's anything to be healed, Lord, that she'll get to receive that healing now in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we receive that. We take your word by what you say, and we honor that, Lord. And we ask you to honor that, too, because we know you will, because you're just looking for that opportunity, Father. Thank you, Father, for bringing us forward, allowing us as a body to cleanse this woman and take part of the cleansing, and let us examine our hearts, too, see whether or not there's something in us that we have to bring out and let go. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. All right, Princess. How you feel, girl?
I feel good.
Amen.
I have like tingling and red spots coming up on my arm. It's like tingling sensations on my arm and my hands. And it's like little bumps, like little heat bumps or something. And they're like red spots.
Is it, you say on your hand?
On my arms and my hands.
Okay. Well, in the name of Jesus right now, we command those bumps to go down and not bother her anymore. No more itching, no more pain, no more coming up on her arm or her hands in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that she is healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Any other kind of spirits of infirmity that might be trying to pop its head up with Princess, we command it to go right now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else want to pray? Okay, Princess, is that all? Got anything else? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? You've been baptized in the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've thought about getting baptized again, you know, because it's been like 2010 and I want to do it again.
Well, did it not take then?
Huh?
Did you not feel right at that time, or?
I did, but it was like, because I don't know. I want to do it again.
Okay. Like, all right.
Do you pray in tongues there, Princess?
Yeah.
Amen. All right. Well, just where are you located?
In my room.
In where?
In my room. Or do you mean like the state?
Yeah, what state is your room in?
I'm in my room too. Praise God. Yeah, what state are you in, Princess?
North Carolina.
North Carolina? Okay. Well, you know where we're located, don't you? Now, is that where you are, Willie? No. Oh, okay.
I just got a lot of relatives that live out there.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, what I would suggest is finding you a good church somewhere and get baptized. You know, whenever you find somebody that you feel comfortable with. And if you can't get comfortable with it, we'll find somebody over in that area to do it.
Okay.
North Carolina is not that far away from East Tennessee either. It depends on which part of North Carolina you're at.
I'm in Raleigh.
Raleigh? Ooh, I don't know how far that is from us. But you might look. We're close to Knoxville.
Okay, yeah. I have people that stay there.
Yeah. Okay, if you got somebody there, it'd be best to do it there, wouldn't it? Get her done.
Yeah.
Although we'd love to have you come up here and spend some time with us.
Yeah.
You just kind of pray about it and see what God says, and He'll fix it up for you. Amen.
Amen.
It's something I wanted to share with her too, because I've been baptized like 3 times, and it was for like every church I've ever joined. And it's, I've been in more than one church, but every church I've ever joined, they were like, "Oh, you got to be baptized." My conversion to Christ happened when I was 12. I was baptized. You know, the Holy Spirit came on me. Can you guys hear me just fine? But I do want to share this with you. Confessing your sins is just like, you know, stripping the flesh of his armor. Don't leave anything out. If there's anything you need to confess before God, strip the flesh of all of its armor, all of its resources, all of its strength. And you'll find such a cleansing that comes into your heart. You'll find healing. You'll find deliverance. You'll start seeing manifestations of, you know, Christ's power in your life. Revelations will start coming to you about the scriptures, words of knowledge about the blood, what faith is. And I'm saying these things because this is what's been happening to me. I've been holding nothing back in my confessions. I've been stripping the flesh butt naked and, you know, putting it to an open shame, like what Jesus did to Satan. And when you strip the flesh of all of his armor, you'll be in that place where you can say, you know, Satan has nothing in me. And, you know, that the Holy Spirit would just come in, you know, just so peacefully occupy all those places. You know, he'll start clothing all those areas, and you know, it's a beautiful thing. It is so beautiful. You'll start learning things about God where you're just like, oh, I did not know this. Like I spent some time talking to a friend about the blood of Jesus on subjects about the blood I had no idea of. As the Holy Spirit was teaching me, I was speaking these things at the same time. I had no idea. We spent 3 hours talking about the blood. Everything that I said was new information to me on the blood of Christ. And, you know, I just wanted to share that with you. Now, you know, expect the Spirit of God to start working mightily and leave nothing out. Strip the flesh of all of his armor. Put it to an open shame, and, you know, the Lord is going to glorify you. He's going to glorify his name. That's the best way I could say it. But yeah, I've been having a great time and all this stuff.
Hey, amen. I couldn't say it any better, Willie. That was good. Awesome. Okay, anyone else? Anybody got a testimony about somebody that got delivered that you know about? Got delivered from demons, demonic activity. That type of thing. I remember one time, this is, I guess, one of the more pronounced demonic activities that I'd seen. We were praying for a lady that was a drug addict. And, she manifested. We had a chair there, and she manifested. And she came out of that chair like she didn't have a bone in her body. I mean, she went down and just slithered down on the floor like that. I said, whoa, glory to God, what is this? And she hit the floor, and she started doing this business across the floor. I said, my, look out, Jesus. And started commanding that thing out of her. And there was probably 20 people there. I was teaching a class on faith, and she wanted to be delivered. And so anyway, she was going across the floor there, and I was just commanding that demon. I said, you can come out of her in the name of Jesus. Well, one of the ladies run across over to the window and opened the window up. I don't know what she thinks she was doing, but I guess she thought she was going to open the window so that demon could get out the window. She didn't want it on herself. So I just said, go ahead. And I commanded that thing to come out. And when that thing came out of her, man, she sat up. And she just glowed like a new dime. I'm telling you, she had a light bulb around her, inside of her, that made her just glow, man. I'm telling you. She said, oh, my, this feels great. And all them demons left her at that time. And it was awesome to watch. It was awesome to watch when somebody gets freed up from all of that old bondage. No. Amen. Has anybody got a testimony similar to that or something like that you'd like to share?
I can actually attest to that. You know, it's interesting. Born into carnality, into the fallen nature of man, you know, we become in love with the world. The foundation of the world is within our hearts, and Ecclesiastic 3 tells us that, right, so that we would not know the beginning from the end. We can't see the forest for the trees, rather. So we, like the prodigal son, we go off and do our own thing. Well, sure, we like Christ, and, you know, we go to church and whatnot. We're Christians, but we're not disciples. And that's the problem that you really will run into, is a lot of people profess themselves as being Christians, as I did. Without discipleship, Jesus never built Christians. He built disciples. That's what we're called to be, right? So specifically, and understanding that, studying to show myself approved, I would read the Bible and be whitewashed. Had no idea the parable of the sower. I would try earnestly. I would try to read it. I have to write it down. When I first started coming to Christ, being a Christian, right? I accepted the Lord at 12 years old. Being a Christian, I still couldn't read the Bible correctly. It would just go five chapters in. I had no idea what I was talking about, right? Nothing. It just made no sense. So I would write down on little pieces of paper what I wanted to memorize, verses, right? And I'd occasionally, every time I'd reach in to pull something out, I'd grab a verse and I'd put that force that into my flesh. And slowly but surely, I would start to build that foundation upon the rock, the cornerstone that was rejected. And in doing so, slowly but surely, you build faith enough to receive the deliverance that the Lord has for you. So at one point, people were praying for me, praying deliverance for me, because, you know, I just kept feeling just a horrible weight. And, you know, that's just something that we're supposed to do, is wash each other's feet, bear each other's burdens in that manner as well. And when something broke off me, folks, I got to tell you, it's like, have you ever had swimmer's ear? Have you ever had water in your ear? Have you ever had eyes that gone a little bad, then you put your glasses on? It's like that. And everything's a little crisper when it leaves. Everything's a little bit easier to hear, and you feel lighter, and the joy of the Lord is unimaginable. You're just happy and calm and peaceful and curious. You're curious. It's like you've gone into a different place altogether. Now, you're familiar with everything, but it's just, you look at it differently. I don't know how to explain it. You do. And when you have that that experience with the Lord, it's undeniable that He exists in your life. There's nothing else in the world you'd want to follow. The problem is, if we don't receive that, we're still conformed to the world. If we don't pray for one another, if we don't, lay our lives down for one another, for what greater love is there? If we don't do that for one another, then ultimately what ends up happening is addressed several times in the Bible, all throughout the Bible. Matter of fact, Andrew spoke a little bit about that earlier on. And, you know, he was talking about speaking. And, you know, Jesus said, you're justified by your mouth, you're condemned by your mouth. Well, no flesh is just, so you're condemned by your mouth because you're justified by your mouth. If I were to be justified by Christ, I make Him a minister of sin. God forbid. So I can't say that because Christ said this, blah, 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 I'm just. If I start arguing my justification, it puts me wrong. I start becoming contentious. I'm not bearing burdens. I'm not accepting persecution, right? Turning the other cheek, so to speak. You know, there's six things that God hates. Seventh is an abomination to Him. That seventh one is sowing discord amongst the brethren, right? That's something that we have a hard time not doing because we're under the law. Well, Paul addresses that in Romans 3. Now, I'm going to take you to that just real quick. And he says, Romans 3:19 says, now that we know what things soever the law saith, it said unto them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, shut up, and the world may become guilty before God. Why? What's the need for that? Right? Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Well, we're told that the law is holy, right? And without the law, we wouldn't understand the grace. So how could it be the knowledge of sin? That doesn't make any sense. If I know what not to do, how does that put me in sin unless I look at you and I see you're in sin and I can't get over that? My knowledge of sin in you holds me from entering into the love that I should have for you. See, if we love our neighbors as ourselves, don't you want to see how they would see things comparatively? You know, there's a lot that the Lord did for us that simply is just, it's unimaginable. For instance, right, in doing deliverance, it's a tough thing because your carnal flesh, you see these things affecting somebody and you want to say, ha ha, I got you. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to beat you up back and forth. And you want to glory in that. Jesus says, don't. Matter of fact, let me read this to you because it's interesting. And I'm going to bring this back to the point. It's in Luke 10. I believe it's Luke 10. Yeah. And so, let's see. He sends the 70 out. Yeah. He sends the 70 out. And so when they return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, behold, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you the power to tread over scorpions and serpents, over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I've given you all of this, notwithstanding. In this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, if you have the knowledge of sin, right, you're rejoicing because you're not like other men are. You see what they're doing. It makes you a hypocrite, literally. And you burn in lust toward one another. Well, how is that so? How you burn in lust toward one another? Look at what he says. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. How fast is lightning? In an instant, right? You feel that temptation? Like a ninja. You just fell. You just went right back into the flesh from the grace of the Lord because you're glorying that you're better than somebody else, and you're not. But see, if I can't look at myself and I look at you, then there's a problem. I got to stop looking at you and realize I'm wretched. Amazing grace. He's given me amazing grace for that very reason. But I have to remember that the flesh, right, the garment I'm wearing is spotted by the flesh. So praise God that this life is but a vesper because, you know, a vapor. The longer you're in it, the harder it is to resist that temptation. The devil's got a billion ways to attack you over and over and over. The subtlety, right? The serpent was the most subtle beast in all the land. It's subtle. It really is. He'll provoke you to fear in different areas and pride in the other. You try to walk that straight and narrow, and he's going to puff you up and tell you how great you are. Or he's going to try and tell you reject you. You know, they're going to reject you. And so you have a hard time confessing them before men, confessing Jesus before men, because you're afraid of rejection of men. You can't be rejected by men if you're accepted by your Father. You realize Jesus said that when he said that all things, the whole world's going to reject you because it rejected me first. So praise God. That means you're ruffling the right feathers when that happens, you know, and that's a tough one to bear. It really, really is. You know, when we started pressing Jesus Christ, we didn't have to worry about letting go of friends. They just let go of us. They said, no, go over here. And we stopped getting invited to parties and hanging out with people. And, you know, I'm happy for that. It's the same red cups filled up with the same alcohol. You're going around in a smoky environment. Everybody's talking about the same thing. And you really glorify, brutality. And you glorify, there's a lot of coarse gesturing, right? A lot of dirty jokes. Same carnality. It's all death. There's no life anywhere. Peter said, where should we go, Lord? You have the words of life. So in essence, to wrap this up, if we don't pay attention to what we say and think before we say, like lightning, we will fall as Satan did, right back into that flesh when we're striving to get away from it. Don't, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. Don't tell him, you know, what he's doing wrong. Be the light. Let me read this to you in Romans real quick, because a lot of people use this in Romans 1. A lot of people, I've heard sermons both ways that talk about Romans 1. And they use it to condemn homosexuals, and they'll use it to condemn evolution. If you look at the start of the chapter, Paul's addressing the brethren. He's not addressing neither one. And Romans 1:13 starts and said, I will have you not ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I propose to come to you, that I may have some fruit among you also, even among the Gentiles. I am a debtor, both the Greeks and the barbarians, both the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power to God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness that God revealed from faith to faith, and it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's a tough one, but it's true. You know, give you a good example of living by faith. When you're a teenager and your mom drops you off somewhere, people in my age range were dropped off at the mall. And you knew your parents were going to come back and get you. At 9 o'clock, you're going to be at this exit and they're going to pick you up. You had faith they're going to come and get you. That's the same way. You know, you have faith that somebody's going to come and pick you up. If they say, if you call a friend, you got car trouble, you call your phone a friend. They're going to come get you. You have faith in that friend. And if something happens, they got hung up, you don't get mad at them. You still have faith that they're doing everything they can. God, everything is possible for him. Have faith. And we go back. And he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They're aware of the truth and they hold it in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest to them, for God had showed it to them, right? They've got this relationship with God. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, but understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are out without excuse. Everybody's going to be held accountable, all right, before the judgment seat of Christ. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image likened to a corruptible man and birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. The evolutionists will take that, and they'll say, see, now we're worshiping animals. But if you look at Job 39, starts in 13, he says, gavest thou the godly wings unto the peacock, or the wings unto the feathers of the ostrich, which leaveth her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in the dust and forgetteth that the foot may crush them. See, they're irresponsible. Or that the wild beast may break them. She is hardened against her young ones, as they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear, because God had deprived her of wisdom. Neither had they imparted to her understanding. It goes on and it talks about the grasshopper and it talks about the horse, right? Same type of parables. That's Job 39. So Paul's referencing, well, we all know Job is pride, right? So in your pride, right, professing yourself to be wise, you become fools, being justified by the law, right? The knowledge of sin in someone else, because I'm just in Christ, I'm in sin as well, right? Turn the other cheek. Don't argue. You're going to get unforgiveness. It's going to defile both of you with bitterness. Wherefore, God has also given them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. How does God see you? Notice how the start of that, he said that they're with no excuse. He has made himself fully manifest unto them. They're held to a different standard, right? They're of no excuse. So they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. They're serving themselves as opposed to the creator, knowing his ways, being holy as he is holy. And for this cause, God gave them up to their vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in lust toward one another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving themselves, that recompense their error which was met. So talking about homosexuality, seeing pastors berate people that are just looking for love, to know who Christ is. They're not looking to turn the church gay. They're looking to know who they are in Christ, but instead they're met with condemnation because they've gone to the wrong church. Well, you know, without any excuse, it says earlier on. Right? So these men know, but they don't understand. Their ears are dull of hearing. So if you look at that specifically, well, how in the world are they burning in lust toward one another? That's they're doing that which is unseemly, right? Well, Paul addresses that specifically, and he says that the lust of the flesh will be fulfilled. Where is it at? There it is. It's in Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Right? But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed of one another. There's the lust of the flesh. Right? Because I'm right and you're wrong. And that's the problem. And so we start arguing, be contentious. Where there's contention is, there's also pride. Not in my own pride. I've been turned over to a reprobate mind. It's going to heed unforgiveness every single time. Because I'm right and you're wrong. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, if I want to take that and say this specifically, what happens? I get so mad and I rail you and you rail me. Evil surmisings. I'm really mad eventually. I'm repentant. What they did say does hurt. But I swung instead of defended. Didn't turn the other cheek. And I lament and I mourn and I weep. Right? See, this is all part of the offense that must come, right? So rejoice in this, right? Can a fire be started lest sticks rub together? So when the Lord pits you versus somebody else, let go of it first. Let go of it first. Don't split anything up. Let go of it. And, you know, watch what he will do. You know, the stages of unforgiveness is something the Lord had to teach me about, and I've spoke about that before. You let go of it, and then you want to say something. Then you want to justify yourself. You let go of it. And then once you have it gone, then you're looking for the Lord to avenge you. You still want to be justified. You still think you're right. Jesus said no man is good, but you still think you're right. You're still turned over to that reprobate mind. Let it go. It doesn't say you're reprobate. It says you're turned over to a reprobate mind. But if you repent, he accepts you right back. So you've been turned over because you got into a fight with somebody. Big deal. You know, it's not the end of the world unless you allow it to be, right? You can have it. Christians can have it, anything they want. You can walk around bitter or all and change all of that over the gifts of the Holy Spirit without repentance. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. That's not going to go away, but your mindset will. So just realize that the Lord loves each and every one of us. He loves, Dave as much as he loves me. He loves Michael. He loves Judy just as much. We're all equal in his eyes. We're all his children. But if we fight and we bite one another, we're going to be consumed of one another, right? And there it lies, unforgiveness. As a kid, as married, with children. If I get upset with somebody and I don't forgive them and I just accept them, kind of hard to talk about that later on, isn't it? Right? I just accepted them. I don't want to talk about that time at the grocery store and you argue over a can of peas. Don't matter what it is. If you don't let it go, you don't talk about it and forgive one another, it's still going to grow into a seed of bitterness, a root of bitterness. It's still going to come up and barb you. Let it go. You know, come out from underneath the law. That is the law, right? Let it go. Fulfill the law of Christ. Every jot and tittle. Look at what you're arguing. It has to pass away. Every jot and tittle has to pass away so the law can pass away within you because it's your schoolmaster to teach you about grace. Let it go. When you let it go, then you feel his love, you feel his presence, right? You get the completeness that you earnestly desire. And it doesn't matter how right they are because he loves you. And that's all that matters about anything is that you're right with him, no matter if you're wrong with the world. So I just wanted to throw that out there and let you guys know that don't worry at all about professing him before men. Rebuke the spirit of fear. Realize you're already accepted, and that's just the devil. He savors the things of men rather than the things of God. That's what Jesus calls Satan. That's just the devil trying to deter you from professing Christ. Don't worry about it. Just do it. Don't dwell on the fear. Just say, I'm a Christian. You know, just stand up for Christ, and he'll stand up for you, and that's all you have to do. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. That was good. He's right. Oh, that's right. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. If you love your neighbor as yourself, what do? You don't get mad at them, do you? You wouldn't want to get somebody to get mad at you. These are little things to think about. Praise God. All right, anyone else? Anybody got any question about what Jeremy just talked about? Hello? Yeah, go ahead.
That you? Yeah, this is Terry. Okay. I just wanted to say, yes, I have definitely experienced that. I was delivered in September 2002 of many evil spirits, and I felt that joy immediately, and I felt that lightness, and I immediately started seeing miracles, healings, and things like that. But I also experienced that the subtleness of Satan creeping back in, like different spirits kind of just slowly came back, and it took me a while to realize it, and I had to rebuke that and repent of that. But I've also experienced that quick as lightning stuff that I immediately recognized, and I immediately had to just rebuke right then and there. But I realize that I do have to be vigilant and on guard against that. And like today, my friend Debbie Horton called me because I asked for prayer, and she really encouraged me today because I could feel that I had a spirit of fear creeping back on me. And we just, she just encouraged me so much, and that fear just left. And so that's my testimony for today. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Debbie's a hoot, isn't she?
She is.
Praise God. Do not fear, only believe. Luke chapter 8 and verse 50.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Got a testimony about being delivered, about being healed. Come on now. Somebody's got an exciting testimony here. Come on. Step up, Willie. Oh, my. You know, I remember one time, I may have related this some time ago, but I remember talking about fear. I was one that I didn't have a whole lot of fears. You know, I had a, when I was a kid, I had a fear of dark. I had a fear of the house that I was living in. It was a great big house we lived in, big old farmhouse, and mother added on to it, mother and dad added on to it. But we had a stairway. It was a straight stairway going straight up to the second floor. This was actually was a three-story house, but it was a straight stairway up there. And I'd have dreams about demons. I didn't call them demons. We called them, gosh, I can't remember what kids call them, but anyway, there was a kid up, there was a demon up there at the top of the stairs, and he had this lever that he could pull, and I'd be going up the stairs not seeing him, and then I'd see him, and he'd laugh, and he'd pull that thing, and it collapsed the stairs, and back down I'd fall. You know, I had that dream over and over and over again, and but anyway, that was one of the things I had. I never was scared of anything other than them stairs. You know what I'm talking about? I didn't care nothing about them stairs. But one night, this was probably 15 years ago, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, I was headed from my house. I have a shop next to my house, a big metal shop, and I was headed out there to go out there and pray or do something anyway. But when I got about halfway between the house and the shop, this fear gripped me. And this is about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. This fear gripped me, and I could not even talk. I don't know if any of you ever had that happen to you before, but it was a spirit. And I had trouble. I was trying to get Jesus out of my mouth. That's all I wanted to get out. I knew if I could get that word Jesus out my mouth, that demon got to go. That demon had me around the throat. He was wrapped up all around me. And I finally got it out. I said, Jesus. bam, he is gone. I've never had that happen to me since or before that. That was a spirit of fear that was almost killing. You know, has anybody ever experienced that before? Okay. I hadn't experienced it again, because if I see it coming on, I'm going after it right then. I'm going after it right then. That fear, you got to go in the name of Jesus. You know, what did you want to tell us about it, Trevor? Was it that debilitating?
Yeah, I've had that happen to me a few times, falling asleep. And it's weird.
How'd you get rid of it?
I prayed.
Do you still experience it?
I haven't experienced it in a while. It happened, last time it happened was like a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know what to do, don't you?
Yep.
Yeah, when you start feeling it come on you, that's when you start going into attack mode.
That's right, yeah.
Amen.
Praise. Yeah, I've had times where I could feel something in my room, you know, when I'm lying. Yeah.
Yep. Let me tell you an experience I had not too long ago. I was in this bed right here, and it was, I don't know, it was 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and I woke up, and I saw these two demons. They were look-alike. They were identical twins, okay, if that's possible. That's what they were. They was identical twins, and they were transparent, but they wasn't transparent. I could see them, and they had blue blood veins. I could see that. It was blue blood vein. Both of them did. Neither one of them had any hair or anything. It bald-headed. And I saw them bending over me. I said, "What in the world are y'all doing in my bedroom?" I said, "Get out of here in the name of Jesus." Just like that, they was gone. I don't know what they was doing. One of them was, they were right there beside the bed, and one of them was bending over me looking like that. And I said, "You get out of here in the name of Jesus." True story. I saw them, man. I said, "Good gracious." But it's, you know, they want to instill fear in you. And I didn't have no fear, because I'd got rid of it. I knew how to attack it, you know, from years ago when that fear got on me back then. I was amazing. I never seen a demon like that, but that's what it was.
You have no idea what he's looking for. Maybe he dropped a contact.
Well, he could have. Well, he dropped it in the wrong room, I can tell you that. That's what it was.
Hmm.
He couldn't see him.
But Michael, he couldn't see you. You're hidden in Christ. He's like, "Where's Michael?
He's hurt." Yeah. Where'd he go? No, one was bent over and one was standing straight up, but they were lookalikes. I said, "Y'all get out of here in the name of Jesus." Poof, he's gone. I felt presence before. Yeah, I think everybody probably felt presence before coming in a room or something like that, and then you pray it out of there and it goes, you know. But that was the first time I'd seen a couple of them standing over me. One of them was bent over, looking at me, kind of stupid like. He's looking at me like that, you know. I said, "Get out of here in the name of Jesus. I got to sleep."
Can I get some prayer?
Yes, sir.
Kingdom's Keys, what was your name?
You talking about Jeremy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Jeremy.
Well, what you just shared about falling into unforgiveness and judgmentalism, and then being turned over to a reprobate mind, I need deliverance from that, because I find myself easily falling into that trap.
I think everybody does on that one, brother.
Yeah. I could use prayer for the Lord to give me wisdom and just break me free from that. That it would be easier for me to resist, to not fall into that, and, you know.
Hold on real quick. Let me bring this up. All right. Let's see. I think that's the... No, why did I put it up there? Hold on real quick. Sorry, I had to look at the King James version. I got, like, the New International. It's just not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, give me a minute. Thanks for freezing just a bit. Yeah, no problem. To pray for you. A lot of it's going to just be repentance and learning to forgive. All right. And that, like I said, there's stages of forgiveness, you know, and it's, I still struggle with it. I'll be honest, you know, I'm still conformed to the flesh. I want not to be, but it's a daily thing that we have to pick up our cross for. You know, in doing so, this is interesting. I was asking the Lord to show me why I'm having a hard time. And Michael actually prayed for me, just recently and helped me get rid of some unforgiveness. I didn't even see it was there. Yeah. Right. And, it's interesting because in Hebrews 3, it tells us, let's see here. Okay. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, it's Hebrews 3:7, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as the day of provocation. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, well, the wilderness of sin is what has, you know, happened. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. So he is referencing the Israelites. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart and have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath. Mind you, this is the Holy Ghost. I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. You ever had trouble sleeping? Right? They shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brother, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. That comes in through arguments and justification, self-righteousness. We're all wretched, every single one, right? But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So, you know, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as to the day of provocation, Antichrist, the replacement for Christ. You know, we always do that. And so, yeah, you know, I have no problem doing that. It's just repentance, though, brother. You know, and, you know, if there's something there that the Lord wants to move out, he will move out. And we just believe it together. So, and anybody can do this. It's, and I encourage all of us to do this. Actually, we should probably all do that. But hold on, let me pull this up. I was just going back here because now get this. I was just doing this as you were talking right beforehand. If you look at Romans 1, when you start arguing with another brother, knowing God's ways, having the Holy Spirit inside you, you start arguing with another brother. It goes on to say that even as they did not retain in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not, right? Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, what is that word? Magnet? I can't even say that, but malignant? I can't even say that. Whispers, but it's going to be hard to repent for it if I can't pronounce it. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil, things disobedient to parents, without understanding, covetousness, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. I just repented for all of that, right? Because when we start arguing, and, you know, you get into it, you were talking about the denominations. Who was talking about denominations earlier on and saying that, you know, they're always going to believe that they're right? Man, ain't that the truth? That is the truth, 100%. They're always going to believe that they're right. And so, you know, Jesus went from synagogue to synagogue. He said the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. So, you know, don't worry, because you're going to say the message of the Lord and go. And that's no longer your job, you know. But yeah, I hear you. I hear you on that. And so let's just see what the Lord wants to lead. Would that be all right with you, Michael?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Throw this up so I can actually see you guys. Ah, there it is. You know, when we get upset with people, Jesus says that, you know, if we speak with them with hatred in our hearts, and we've murdered them, right? And that's something that's real hard to come away from, because it's a hard mindset to get out of you. That way of thinking, that carnality of murder. Somebody makes you upset and really hurts you. When they hurt you, see, the Lord told me this last night. You know, the road to repentance doesn't end where it begins. When I say I'm sorry for something, if somebody apologized to you, you wanted everything to go right back the way you think it should be. It don't usually happen that way. Right? Because generally, if there's unforgiveness, there's hurt. If there's hurt, then there's going to be, you know, bitterness. If it's not resolved, it's not healed, if we haven't given it over to Christ. You know, so my wife has amazing grace on the clock. Appropriate. You know, but yeah. What exactly are you wanting prayer for? And what was it again?
Just deliverance from that whole thing. And
you're talking about criticism and judgmental.
Yeah. It'd be easier for me to forgive, and just that stuff would roll off me like water off a duck's back.
Yeah, I think that's a, you know what, and I hear what you're saying real quick. Let me tell you this so you understand why I'm saying this. Jesus says offenses must come, but woe unto them through who offenses come, right? So you're going to be offended. Has to happen to show you, right, what you need to let go of.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to happen. That's how he teaches us, right? Get this is the fun part. When Jesus healed the man that came down through the roof, right? When he healed the guy that came through the roof, and the Pharisees said in his heart and started saying, that's blasphemy and whatnot. And Jesus knew in his heart. He knew that they reasoned this in his heart,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's the Holy Spirit leading him. And the Pharisee basically was trying to offend Jesus, right? And right afterwards, he said what he did was blasphemy. So he was trying to offend Jesus, and Jesus stopped. He looked at the crowd, and he says, whatever you remit it unto them. Whatsoever you retain, you retain.
Yeah.
Where do you remit it? Back to them. Right? But if you hold it on to it, if you hold on to that offense, you can make it your pet. You can hold on to that, and that'll be a great offense. And you can show everybody how hurt you are, and people surmising. You can say, well, how wrong they did you, be justified, and all that. And it's going to hurt every single time. You're never going to get over it.
Yeah.
That's the trap of the enemy.
Yep.
Hold on. Actually, are you on Facebook? Do you have an email address? I think I'm going to send you a prayer of repentance.
Yeah, I'm not on Facebook, but I can give you my email address.
Yeah, that'd be great. If you put that in the chat.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another thing, guys. I don't have a problem with repentance, prayers of repentance. It gives you a starting point. It's not an end-all be-all. Right? If you don't understand what you're repenting for, really, it's not going to make a difference. It's just vanity. You're offering the Lord a prayer masked with incense. You're not going to receive it. It's more like an abomination at doing. You're not truthful in your heart. It's a heart matter. The entire new covenant is a heart matter, right? But if you're not going to seek him with all of your heart, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you don't seek him with all your heart, what's the point? You're going to suffer persecutions in vain. You're just going to end up hardening your heart because you're going to get yelled at for waving the flag of Christ. All right? But if you know how to fight the enemy, and that's just letting it go. That's everything you don't want to do, isn't it? Isn't it everything you don't want to do? Right? That's so you don't want to let it go. I don't want to let it go. A lot of times I want cheese on my Whopper. They didn't give me cheese on my Whopper. I'm going to take that right back up there. I'm going to tell them, hey, look, right? Now, I understand that it's a difficult task to do that. And I know you got a lot to talk about in between your cell phone chats and the Twitter wars. But that's wrong. It doesn't matter. That's not going to make a difference. I say nothing. I just say, excuse me, I ordered cheese on this. And that's the best I can do. If I try to err somewhere else, I justify myself. There's little things like that, you know, but in that reality, it kind of makes me a jerk. You know, so that's how the Lord sees that. So, could you put your email in the chat?
Yeah.
All right, hold on real quick. You know, Jesus says, whatever you bind on earth, you bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, you'll loose in heaven, right? The keys to the kingdom, per se. And for me, that's all about forgiveness. Because I believe that the Lord justifies us. We are justified by God. We cannot justify ourselves by God. We are justified by God. If I try to do anything myself, I'm still holding on. How can you hold on to anything if you have holes in your hands? You bear the marks of Christ.
Yeah.
You can't. You're not strong enough. You know, Jesus assures us that in Revelation 3, where he tells us that I'll open up a door that no man can shut, and I've shut doors that no man can open, and I will make them, get this, come and worship you. Then to say that they are Jews but do lie, that are the synagogue of Satan, because we talked about earlier on about self-righteousness, that everybody knows that they're right in their own specific denomination. Man, he's not saying they're to come and bow to you. He's not saying you're going to become an idol, but they're going to say they're sorry. Right? So Jesus is not promoting you as an idol at that point, you know, but they're still his as you are. So, you know, who can you forgive? And that's for everybody. You know, who can we forgive? If there's somebody that, you know, you have out there that just irritates, my mom irritates me. She's been doing it for 30 years. You know, she knows how to push my buttons. And so it's really irritating. My wife irritates me. She got power over my flesh. I don't like that. Right? But it's true. And so she can push my buttons. And each time I have to give it over to Christ. You know, each time I want to say, well, let me tell you something. Woman's to learn in silence. That's wrong. It never, ever works.
Yeah, I freaking say that works, don't it?
No, never. Actually, it's the exact opposite result. And see, that's not what God's talking about anyway. But your carnal mind wants to think that because you want to justify yourself. Right? So just realize, see, all the guys laughing. The girl's like, mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, that's the way that is. And ladies, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be weird, but that's our carnal mind. That's what we want to do.
Amen.
In reality, gripes go up. If you ever look at the chain of command, Christ is the head of man, right? The man is the head of the woman. Hey, look, man, when Tracy and I don't get along, and I learned the hard way, when we don't get along, there's nothing is going to change me saying, you're doing this wrong. That's the knowledge of sin. But if I give it to him and I say, God, Lord Jesus, please intercede here. I can't do anything. I'm not going to control her. She's got free will just like I do. I'm not going to be I'm going to rule with a heavy hand or a loud voice. You know, so that's just it. You know, we're all equal in Christ. We played slightly different roles, nothing major. But yeah, either way.
Let's go ahead and pray for him right quick.
Thanks. Yeah, but will you leave that? Because apparently I can't seem to get off that topic.
What? You're fine. Okay, listen, Trevor, let's go ahead and pray for you. In the name of Jesus right now, we command that spirits of criticism, judgmental attitude to go right now in Jesus' name. And self-justification, self-righteousness, go in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you're going to deliver. You have already delivered Trevor of this. And when he gets this thing from Jeremy, he's going to go through that and see and read and pray, and he's going to be set free. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Now, Trevor can, Bill can pray for you too whenever you get this prayer. And, you know, it'll work. It works. Prayer works. You know, a quick story before we get out of here. I had a pastor friend of mine who had a Jezebel wife. I'm telling you, she was. But, he told her one day, he said, she got on to him about something. This is a pastor friend. He's got a church. He had a church and everything, you know, and all that good stuff. And he told her, she got on to him about something. He said, let me pray that spirit of Jezebel out of you, honey. She said, spirit of Jezebel, huh? Let me show you what a spirit of Jezebel is. And she went off on it. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You want to pray for them behind the scenes, okay? That's what you want to do. Well, Father, we just thank you for a wonderful time with you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us all how to react and act according to the scriptures, Lord, and how to talk and how to speak and how to think. According to the scriptures. And Father, we thank you that we're going to see a mighty miracle tomorrow. Father, and we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for your protection around everybody there in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for exposing all of the corruptness and the evil doings up there in Washington, D.C. And that we know, Lord, that you're going to take care of it. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Give us a good night's sleep tonight, Lord. And wake us up and get us all back in line with you. Give us good, sweet dreams tonight, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, y'all. We love you.